This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Good morning. A little bit of Creedence Clearwater for you there. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Monday morning, October 14th. We're celebrating Columbus Day, I believe, today, or for those of you that don't celebrate Columbus Day, the Indigenous Peoples Day, one or the other. I wonder how you get that on a T-shirt, Indigenous Peoples Day. Lots to talk about today, including the situation with the Kurds in Syria, and then what's going on in Saudi Arabia with troops, along with the latest on the ongoing attempt by Democrats to get Donald Trump out of office, out of the White House. And today we are going to debut the two-minute warning. It'll be a commentary by yours truly that we will do from time to time when we think it's justified. We do today, and so we're going to talk about why the impeachment inquiry goes against our laws, our Constitution. Stay tuned for it. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10, we got a goodie for you, the top 10 highest-ranking universities, the best universities, Wall Street Journal deal. So stay tuned for it. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It is, without doubt, the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. You get the best haircut there. Great price. It's located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. That's just north of Route 580 on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Great haircut. Great price. Great ambiance. All right. Also, please go to our website. If you ever want to listen to any of our shows, we've got them all there. On podcast, thanks to Big Ed's efforts, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. All right, lots to talk about today. My goodness. You know, I've gone back and forth on whether or not I feel good about the, you could say the abandonment of the Kurds in Syria, or you could say we're finally starting to get out of the Mideast like we should have done a long time ago. And that you were not the world's policeman. And I got a little bit of that in me, too. Nearly a week after we announced the decision to get out of northern Syria, Kurdish forces have reportedly agreed to a deal with Syria, with Damascus, in a desperate bid to face off against the offensive by Turkey. The New York Times says that the deal, which was announced last night, enables the president of Syria, Bashar al-Assad, and his forces to attempt to regain a foothold in the northeastern portion of Syria. That's oil country, my friends. And the Kurds have been living around that area for a while. By the way, there are different factions of Kurds. Did you know that? It's not just one happy Kurdish family, kind of like the Muslim deal, you know. You get all kinds of different viewpoints and political groups and the like. And the Kurdish fighters had few options but to negotiate with Turkey after the U.S. pulled out. We'll see where all of that goes. But maybe in the long run it's a good thing. You know, Trump made a rather eloquent comment, I would tell you, about having to write to the widows or the spouses of our soldiers that had been killed overseas in some of these conflicts, most of which are taking place in and around the Middle East these days. And that has to be tough. And those bodies coming back in those transport planes, and the family standing waiting for those coffins to be pulled out, that's very tough. So, you know, we've done more than our share over the years. Much more than our share. Who else has been even close to trying to protect and commit to world peace? And, of course, lots of people blame us when we try to do it. And it was part of the, I guess you could say, the guilt after World War II, where everybody else had been pretty much decimated, if you remember. After World War II, we were the only ones that really had our infrastructure not ruined. England's, France, all the European countries devastated by all the bombings. So we picked up the pieces and we decided, because at that point we were indeed the strongest, both economically and militarily, we decided we would try to keep the peace, especially between the oncoming socialist, communist portion of Europe in Russia and the free portions. So there you go. Anyway, former Secretary of Defense James Mattis popped up on one of the programs this Sunday. You know, you get all these talk shows, right, on Sunday. Ever watch any of them, like Meet the Press or Face the Nation or Fox News Sunday? Watch some of that. I tend to watch a few of them, not all of it. I got to watch some football games and stuff, too. James Mattis, our former Secretary of Defense, they called him, in a friendly way, Mad Dog Mattis. He criticized Trump's decision to remove troops from Syria. He said, "I think Secretary of State Pompeo," meaning Mike Pompeo, "and the intelligence services, the foreign countries that are working with us, they all have it about right that ISIS is not defeated." He said this on Meet the Press. Mattis said, "We have got to keep the pressure on ISIS so they don't recover." Mattis said, "You can pull your troops out, as President Obama learned the hard way, out of Iraq. But the enemy gets the vote, as we say in the military." He said, "And in this case, if we don't keep the pressure on them, ISIS will resurge. It's absolutely a given that they will come back." In the meantime, Rand Paul, also on the circuit, the talk show circuit, said that an increased American military presence in Saudi Arabia creates a magnet for extremism in the region and presents an open target for the jihadists. He has expressed dismay at Trump's decision to send about 3,000 troops to Saudi Arabia near their oil fields, or I should say, after their oil fields were attacked. That's the one thing about Trump. He says, "We got to get out of the Middle East, and that's why I'm pulling us out of the Syrian conflict with the Kurds." And then he goes over to Saudi Arabia and he drops 2,800 troops in there. That doesn't make any logical sense to me. If we're going to get out, get out. Don't start adding troops somewhere else in the Middle East. So Rand Paul says, "I'm not comfortable with that. I would withhold troops and arms from the Saudis until we see better behavior." Now, at least Rand Paul is consistent. He also said he was glad we got out of Syria. And he didn't want us going into Saudi Arabia. At least he's consistent, right? Okay. Let us take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the Democrats and their efforts to oust Trump from the White House.
There's a reason for the sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that little light shines all around us.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on the day we celebrate Columbus Day. It's actually on October the 12th. You remember that song in 1492, Columbus Sailed the Ocean Blue? Do you ever hear that one? That's kind of what I grew up with. That's how we remembered when Columbus ended up founding America. You know, he never really arrived. He never hit landfall. He hit in, San Salvador, the islands. He didn't actually get on land, get on the physical continent. So he discovered the area. And you know why they called him Indians? He thought he had found a better route to India. And India was big time back then in the 1400s. They had silk and ivory and all of these oils and stuff. So they were, you know, they were a place where you wanted to go as quickly as possible so you could do the trading. Anyway, enough of a history lesson. Did you know tomorrow? I can't wait. Ed, you're probably excited. The next debate for the Democrats is on tomorrow. Ed just fell off his chair. So we're going to find out if any of those people up there, other than Biden, are going to challenge Joe about his wonderful son, Hunter. Do you think, Ed, any of them will have the courage?
I don't think that name will even come up, to tell you the truth.
It's kind of like a conspiracy, isn't it? They don't want to bring it up.
Well, they'll validate that if they don't bring it up.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, if I was one of the ones with 1%, I think I'd bring it up because what have I got to lose? I'm running for president.
No, I'm sure that they'll make life difficult for you back at your regular job.
By the way, what is Biden's regular job?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Or you can get on the Clinton list, and that's even deadlier.
Right now, his regular job is protecting Hunter Biden. That's what I think. Anyway, so the debate is tomorrow. And let's see. We got Bernie Sanders. He made it past his, I guess he's got a few more stents in his heart now, so he'll be a little bit, hopefully he'll be his old feisty self. We got Elizabeth Warren, who's into some more trouble now. Apparently, she claims now that they took one look at her at one of her jobs as a professor, and she looked too pregnant for them to keep her. Did you hear that one? So she went around now. She's going around now saying that, you know, some man in authority basically got her out. Well, it turns out that's not true. That's not true. Apparently, she decided on her own to leave the college. And it's come to light. And why does she have to keep... I guess she wants to portray herself as downtrodden. So she had to be a Native American and feel that, you know, she could be treated as downtrodden. I wonder if she had political ambitions ever since she was a kid, you know, wondering, let's see now, what can I do? I don't think so. She actually got a free ride out of college because of the Native American ploy. Anyway, so Bernie Sanders will face some questions about whether or not he's going to make it to November 2020. In other words, go to the distance, recovering from his heart attack. And we talked about Elizabeth Warren. We got Joe Biden with his son. I think Hunter and Joe should both go on the debate stage. Now, that would garner good ratings. Let's get Hunter up there, too. And he could be waving, you know, and cheering. Every time his dad would speak, he could raise a sign and say, "Go, Joe!" Or, "Go, Dad! Go, Dad!"
I think he should raise a sign every time his dad completes a sentence.
Or make sense in a sense. You know, he's got Nancy Pelosi disease. Have you ever listened to her? I'm not kidding. After a while, you begin to realize she's not making any sense. If she talks for a while.
Do you ever have that one friend that just does that? You know,
yeah.
Tells a story and then just...
And then
follows it up by, "And that's why the sky is blue."
Yeah.
And then you're like...
And then you question your own sanity.
Yeah, did I leave the room or something?
Yeah. So I watch it for the comic relief. Let's see. And then we got Tulsi Gabbard. She's from Hawaii. She's threatening not to show up, as if anybody would care. But she's threatening not to show up because she now says that the whole Democratic National Committee and the debates are fixed, in so many words. Then you got Spartacus. The guy that ran the New Jersey into the ground as mayor, he wants to be president. Then he can run the whole country into the ground. How's that sound? Who else do we have up there? I guess we got a few more. But anyway, that's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. It'll be on CNN. Ed, I know you'll want to set your alarm.
No, I've got that channel blocked.
So Ed does the smart thing, and he blocks CNN. You know, another thing that's kind of funny, now that I'm talking about all this, I was watching MSNBC yesterday, and of course, they're another anti-Trump network. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
Not one word about what's going on in the Me Too movement and NBC, and now even their top CEO. Did you know he's involved in sexual harassment things as well? But you never hear NBC talking about that, right? They go on and criticize others, like Trump, all the time. Not a peep about what's going on there with their sister network, NBC. But it's on the front page right now of the Fox News website. Embattled NBC News boss lashes out at Farrow. That's the guy that wrote the book that's coming out this week, by the way, on what's going on in NBC and Harvey Weinstein and all that. So there you go. Okay.
You know, these people that have been accused of sexual this or whatever, and they come out and say it's a lie, and I plan on suing these people for you know, dragging me through the mud, whatever, and then it's proved that they did do it and they resign. But you never hear them come out and say, and I would like to apologize to my colleagues in the media that you were right. I lied, and you were right. You never hear them say that.
Don't hold your breath.
They just go away.
That's right.
That's it.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep. I've not heard Harvey Weinstein apologize. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Did we ever get an apology from Bill Cosby?
No. Nope.
I don't think so. What about Bubba?
Well, he still denies it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. he denies it.
Although he had to pay a lot of money to Paula Jones for all of that. And then he lost his law license, too. But he probably still was.
And then he became president. So,
Yeah. Well, he was. Yeah, no, you're right. Paula Jones was
before.
That was when he was. Yeah, he was either the governor or lieutenant governor in Arkansas. He had it going way back. All right. Speaking about some crazy people, we got Adam Schiff. Now, he said yesterday they may not need to interview the whistleblower. In other words, we don't want you to get your hands on him and find out who he really is.
Is it a he or a she?
I think it's a he.
Oh, we don't even know?
I have the just behind the scenes scuttlebutt is that it's a colleague of Joe Biden's that worked in the CIA and is a male.
It's probably some inflatable doll in a room somewhere that has a sign and has a whistle hanging from its neck. And the Dems are calling it the whistleblower.
I'm trying to view that in my mind. That would look very different, very interesting, yes. So he says, Schiff says, we might not need to interview the whistleblower because now we got enough information. So therefore, the whistleblower, who actually didn't see it anyway. Now he's saying we don't need him because he actually didn't see it anyway. That's because they've moved past the whistleblower, right? He acknowledged, Schiff did, that he initially supported the whistleblower testifying, but he said, given that we already have the call record, we don't need the whistleblower, who wasn't on the call to tell us what took place. He said, we have the best evidence. It may not be necessary to take steps that might reveal the whistleblower's identity. There you go. Also, he now is kind of apologizing for saying that they didn't know about the whistleblower ahead of the whistleblower making his announcement. He said he misspoke, but he could have been more clear. Yeah, absolutely. He could have been a lot more clear. He could have been honest about it. Hey, I think we got our buddy. This is Andrew's brother, by the way. He lives up in...
I wanted to tell you something real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
The highlight of my weekend.
What?
So, you know, we were just talking about phone calls, you know, you're getting these advertisement phone calls and stuff.
Yes, and we both get them.
I got this text on Saturday afternoon. It says, hi, Ed, I'm Randy, a MoveOn volunteer. President Trump's corruption and abuse of power are impeachable offenses, and we need you to do everything we can to impeach Trump now and ensure the complicit Republicans are defeated in 2020. Will you pledge to vote in 2020 Democrat? If yes, please reply. We'll share periodic text for MoveOn's number about how many things can make a difference.
I bet you please were reaching for your wallet.
I can't.
Were you reaching for your wallet while you were reading this?
I said, President Trump is my president. This is why I replied. And the best president we've ever had. Now, and I used a four-letter word.
It wasn't Rose.
And then, yeah, they replied, I'm removing you from further text from MoveOn's immediately. Have a great day. My final response was, move on to a different country.
Very good, Ed. Very good. I wonder how they got your name to begin with.
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, golly.
You know, those Dems, you know, Democrats, they can find whistleblowers in the closet, you know, inflate them, whatever they got.
Yeah, they probably, maybe it's a complete nothing. Yeah. There's nobody, you know, it's just made up. Anyway, we have Angelo Ceresi. Angelo is the brother of the master barber, Andrew. But Angelo lives in New York, and he suffers the slings and arrows of that liberal state. Angelo, how are you?
Very good, Paul. How are you?
Thanks for calling. We're doing good. So what's the latest, Angelo? Have you been watching? First of all, I got to get your opinion, because I go back and forth on it myself. Do you think President Trump should have pulled our troops out of Syria at the expense of the Kurds, just like that, without kind of giving them a little bit of a warning?
Well, you know, there's no really good time or bad time to pull out. Or instead of telling somebody we're going to pull out now, you know, after even fighting with them and everything. But, you know, it's about time. You know, me being a combat veteran, Vietnam. You know, these people that are against the president pulling the troops out, they should go put the uniform on, and you go fight over there and dodge the bullets every day.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And then I think Trump made a rather eloquent statement about having to write to the survivors, the families of these.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we've been fighting over there for so long, and you really want to know something? The American public really doesn't appreciate what we do, or what we, as a soldier, when I came back, I was called a baby killer, murderer. You know, I mean, one time, my wife, I mean, she was my girlfriend at the time, we went to a thing here in Rochester called the Clothesline Art Festival, and, you know, I was just home on leave, and I had no, you know, civilian clothes or anything like
right.
that. I was there for a few days. And I was in my uniform, and if looks could kill, people were throwing me the finger, the whole nine yards.
That was the most horrible.
It was horrible.
I mean, and, first of all, what the kids did when they went there, and then to go through that, and then to come home to that.
Right. I still don't forgive the American public for what they did.
I don't blame you.
I still don't. And these people that complain about, you know, pulling our troops back, well, you know, I've always said the same. The ones who are the most vocal are the least productive. You go over there, carry a gun, and face those bullets day in and day out. You know, can't sleep at night. You're worried about, are you going to wake up tomorrow? Are you going to be killed? You know, the whole nine yards.
Yeah. We talked a little earlier. I don't know if you heard about it, but, you know, after World War II, we were the only one left standing with our infrastructure in place, right? All of
right.
Europe was in devastation. England was in devastation. France.
Right.
And, of course, Germany and Russia and this and that. So we were
in the whole nine yards.
So we kind of picked up the picked up the ball and ran with it. We decided, all right, you know. And then everybody knew, I mean, Roosevelt did and so did Truman at the end of World War II, that that Russia was something to be worried about, even though we had, you know, aligned ourselves with Russia against Germany at the time. But we were the ones, and now we've been carrying it ever forward. You could even, you know, in the Vietnam War, as you probably know, we had made a commitment in Indonesia.
Right. We.
So we were kind of stuck there with that commitment.
Absolutely. And we lost, what, almost 60,000?
65,000. I think about around 65,000. Yes. Yes.
And, you know, it's like when we pulled out of Vietnam, I mean, I was in 1975, I think it was,
We literally just decided to leave, right.
Mm-hmm. We decided to leave. I was bitter. I was so ticked off because, you know, I lost a lot of friends, and it goes through your mind, what did we accomplish, you know?
Yes.
And the American people didn't really care. They didn't care. They wanted us out of there then.
Right. And we can also talk, you know, we can go on about the Vietnam War. I always thought when I found out that McNamara, who was the defense secretary under Lyndon Johnson at the time in the 60s, and Johnson had made a commitment that they were just going to basically put it on simmer rather than a full boil fighting where we could win. You know, to basically sacrifice all of those kids that are over there with this political strategy. And then McNamara had the chutzpah, or whatever it was, to come out and write a book about it to make money, where he admitted that they did that.
Well, they knew that we couldn't win.
We could have won if we really wanted to. If we had declared war, and that's another thing, in my opinion, of course. Congress is supposedly the only entity in our government that has the power to declare war, and yet we've kind of handed it off to the president, and we don't call them wars, we call them skirmishes.
But
if you take a bullet, you can be just as dead in a skirmish as in a war, so I don't see any of that.
I mean,
but we don't. It's not even a declared war. If we had declared war, maybe we would have won it. But
right.
You know?
If we had fought, you know, we had to fight under what they call the Magby Rules of Engagement. That was called Military Assistance Command Vietnam. We had to say halt, Dung Lai, which means halt, stop, Dung Lai, three times at the enemy before we could chamber around into the rifle.
Really?
Yeah, halt, Dung Lai, three times. And after that, then you can chamber around and say halt, Dung Lai, three times, and then you could fire. Believe it or not, that's how you fought a war over there.
It was crazy, wasn't it?
Yes. And then, you know, and then these people, like I said, you know, they're mad. You know, we went through what was called Vietnamization in Vietnam before we were pulling out, trying to get the troops ready to fight for themselves. It didn't work, you know? I mean, because look what happened. The North Vietnamese ran right into Saigon in the presidential palace.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And you know, and today, the same people, you know, they're calling for the, you know, why is the president doing this and why is the president doing that? You know, these generals, right? Well, they wouldn't be a general without a war. They want to have a war. They want to keep fighting.
Justifies their job, right?
Right. I mean, at our expense, 18 years old, I got sent over to Vietnam. 18, 19 years old. Come on.
Right. No, I understand.
I'll never, ever get that time back.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah. Any final thoughts about what's going on? I know you, are you the kind of guy that watches a Democratic presidential debate, or do you find that you don't want to watch it?
You know, I'm an elections inspector over here, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't even take the test to do the thing. I can't stand the Democrats for what's happening. I don't even want to do it. I think it's a farce of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
The presidential debate, it's like a kangaroo.
Yeah.
Zoo.
Yeah.
They're not talking about any issues or anything anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Angela, it is always a pleasure. Thank you so very much for calling. And, you know, I'm listening to you about your days in Vietnam, and I can feel it. It's really appreciate you sharing that with us.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, I mean, I wish the American people would understand more, you know, but you figure only one tenth of 1% ever serve in the military.
Right.
So it's not really a heck of a lot of people.
You know, like they say, these politicians that demand we keep our troops this, that, and the other place. Why don't you send your own kids over there?
Yeah, or go there yourself and die.
Or go yourself, exactly. Thank you, Angelo.
You're quite welcome.
All right, my friend.
Have a great week.
And the same to you. All right.
Bye-bye.
Angelo! From Rochester, New York. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this farce of an impeachment and what's going on with it. So stay tuned.
You hear the work bell ring, and I march you to the table. You see the same old thing. Ain't no food upon a table. There's no fork up in the pan. But you better not complain, boy. You get in trouble with the man.
Let the midnight special.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? Tune in to the Ameritech Connection every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. That's 1340 AM and 106.1 FM. Right, Sharon?
That's right, Mike. We cover it all when it comes to deed-restricted communities. We have the answers to all of your questions and more on the Ameritech Connection every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back. Monday, Columbus Day celebration. I guess that means we don't get any mail, Ed. All my fan mail. I guess I just won't get any fan mail today. Well, that'll save me a couple of hours worth of reading and writing back to them, you know. So.
And you don't get any big wire transfers money?
No. Nothing. Everything kind of stops, doesn't it? Well, we talked about the debate, and we made a little bit of fun, I guess you could say, with Joe Biden's son, Hunter. By the way, where is Hunter Biden? Are we going to buy a T-shirt that says, "Where is Hunter Biden?" Isn't that what Donald Trump wants us to do? Where is Hunter? It's going to be. It's a, that's what it will say. On the
if I had to guess, I'd say since Joe owns a home in St. Croix, probably shoved him down there somewhere.
Do you think he's down there now in Virgin Islands?
I think it would be best for him to stay out of the spotlight until the election is over. Basically,
maybe he is in that mansion that they were using for the kids.
Well, that's only 47 miles away.
Yeah, you know? Maybe he's over there.
It's about an hour boat ride.
We better not. He's already got enough trouble. I don't want to associate him with that. President Trump targeted Hunter yesterday, implying that he has disappeared. And like you said, maybe he's down in the Virgin Islands. But this was hours after Hunter's attorney said that he's going to step down from the board of the Chinese company and said he will not work with foreign companies if his father becomes president. How big of him? How big of him? I mean, here he is, an important cog in that utility company in Ukraine on the board. I mean, if it wasn't for him, I'm sure that that utility company would be even more corrupt. But he's going to step down. Now, if what the Democrats say about Hunter Biden, that he's done nothing wrong, then why is he stepping down? He should stay proudly in those places. Now, Trump and Rudy Giuliani, his personal attorney, say Hunter improperly benefited from business dealings in China and in Ukraine. And then we got Joe on tape saying, if they didn't fire the prosecutor in Ukraine that was investigating Hunter Biden's utility company, they wouldn't get any money. Talk about a quid pro quo. That's on tape. But somehow nobody needs to investigate that. And if you listen to the Democrats, they say it's been investigated and Joe has been cleared. No, it's not. It's never been investigated. It's been ignored. That's what it's been. Anyway, so that's the deal with Hunter. In the meantime, Rudy Giuliani, the Dems and the press are trying desperately to link a couple of guys that are connected to Rudy that might have done some campaign finance errors. And they want to somehow link that to the impeachment. I don't know that there's any connection. But Trump has backed Rudy. He says, this is Trump, he says he, meaning Giuliani, may seem a little rough around the edges sometimes, but he's also a great guy and wonderful lawyer. Well, Mr. Trump is a little rough around the edges, so I guess they would get along fairly well based on that. He went on Jenny Pirro's show on Fox News over the weekend. And on that show, and by the way, Jeanine Pirro, a former attorney and huge Trump backer, she asked Trump if Giuliani was still his attorney, and Trump said, yes, he's a great gentleman, he was a great mayor. So, they're pointing the finger at Giuliani. Now, Giuliani went over as Trump's personal attorney and was running around Ukraine, checking up, I guess you might say, on what Hunter Biden was doing. And that does get a little bit, you know, a little murky. I don't think Giuliani should probably go over there. That doesn't make anything impeachable. Doesn't make anything impeachable at all. So, all right, let's do this, Ed. Let's take our final break now, because I want to come back and we're going to introduce to the people something new. It's called the 2-Minute Warning.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Hi there, I'm Dr. John.
And I'm Dr. Lisa.
Do you have medical questions you never get to ask?
Now you can ask us.
After many years of caring for children and families, we've learned that the best informed families are also the healthiest.
Are you saying knowledge is power, Dr. John?
I am, Dr. Lisa, and since you're the smart one, I hope you share some knowledge with me and our listeners.
Let's do this then.
Okay, we hope you'll join us every Monday at noon right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for the Drs. John and Lisa Show.
Listen online at tantalk1340.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final section of Freedom Works for a Monday, and we're introducing a new portion, a new little thing we're going to do from time to time called the 2-Minute Warning. It's going to be yours truly, doing a little commentary when we think it's justified. We think it is right now. And so here we go. We're going to talk a little bit about this impeachment inquiry, which I think violates the Constitution. A handful of congressmen have no right to announce an impeachment inquiry and start to subpoena witnesses to various committees. The executive branch is not beholden to a handful of people in Congress doing that, because it's the full Congress, which does have the power to impeach, but they have not voted on whether or not to begin the inquiry. So just a couple of people like Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, Jerry Nadler. I mean, is that all you need to start an impeachment inquiry and throw the whole country, topsy-turvy? So we got Schiff and Pelosi and Nadler. They've decided they can hold hearings, demand that the president and his administration comply with witnesses. So think of it this way. If that logic holds true, what is to keep, say, 4 or 5 congressmen from sending troops to a faraway country, not to fight, but just to get ready to fight, to stay on standby? Why can't they do that? If they can start an impeachment inquiry, just a couple of people, why can't they send troops? I mean, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. Since Democrats have a majority in the House, they are the ones that appoint the chairman to all the House committees. That's the deal. But those chairmen were not voted on. They were not voted on to become chairman. They were selected and dropped into those chairmanship seats by Nancy Pelosi, who is the Speaker of the House. That's the way it works. But they don't have any more power than any other congressman to start an impeachment inquiry just because they were selected to head a committee. They're not giving the Republicans any say. None. No say for the Republicans on an impeachment inquiry. What if a Democrat was president? For example, Obama, and the Republicans ruled the House. Could a couple of their committee chairmen announce an impeachment inquiry because Obama told the Russian ambassador he'd have more authority to do things with Russia if he was reelected? Could they start an impeachment inquiry on Obama? Could they? I don't think so. Democrats would howl and refuse to cooperate. And they would be right. So Republicans should hold strong. The administration should continue to ignore subpoenas from these Democratic committee chairmen, and they should let the courts decide. Ultimately, the courts will shut down this charade until the full House goes on record and votes to hold the inquiry, just like the inquiries into Richard Nixon and Bill Clinton. So there you go, the two-minute warning. All right, Ed, you can wake up. I want to ask you real quickly. We got to talk about our Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They were in jolly old England, and they were playing around 9 in the morning. And unfortunately, they lost to the Carolina Panthers 37-26. Did you watch any of the game? And I'd like to get your assessment of how the Bucs are doing.
I watched bits and pieces. I saw they were losing fast and early and kind of tuned it out. Came back, watched it a few times, and then it started to become comical. And the score isn't even tell the story. It wasn't. The score makes it look like it was a close game, 11 points, but it wasn't close.
It wasn't?
There was some garbage yards in the end and a garbage touchdown in the end to make it look close instead of 18. But
Jameis Winston, I need to get your opinion.
Yeah, Jameis, towards the end of the
you've
game.
You've always loved him.
Oh, yeah. Towards the end of the game, he was at 3 interceptions and sacked 6 times. So I said out loud, I said, do I hear 4 interceptions? Sure enough, right around the corner, 4. Then he goes back in for the final drive, and I said, well, we got time for one more interception. Sure as rain, he threw a 5th one. So he finished the day with 5 interceptions, 1 fumble that he lost, and he was sacked 6 times.
He was
7 times the week before.
Now, can we credit some of that to the bad offensive line, or what are we going to do about that?
Somewhat. But listen, when you take a 3 or 5 step drop, you have, if it's not there, throw it away. Don't stand there and think you're gonna make some Superman play or something like that. Throw it away. And he just doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. And the interesting thing, too, his counterpart that he'll always be linked to, Marcus Mariota, who was drafted one behind him, the quarterback for Tennessee.
Yes.
Which I thought we should have taken.
Yes, you did. I remember that.
He has been hurt, Marcus Mariota. He has not been on the field for an entire season, and he's got Jameis syndrome. And he's starting to regress now, too.
Is he?
Yes. He was benched yesterday. Now, you got to remember, both these guys are in a contract year. If you bench him, you're basically cutting ties with them because they're going to command, or at least want, somewhere in the neighborhood of a 5-year, $100 million contract next year. And that's not going to happen. You got to remember, Jameis is playing on a 1-year contract right now, and he's getting $20 million for his play.
So that's about $5 million per interception.
Yeah.
Well, if we had had Marcus Mariota on the Bucs rather than Jameis Winston, would we have been,
we don't
been any
know.
Better off? No, we don't really. But
because we don't know if playing
know.
In Florida would have kept him from getting injured. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
His biggest problem is he's injured all the time.
Well, then that would not have been a good bet either.
Yeah.
You know. All right. Very good. Real quickly, baseball playoffs.
Go Astros. Favorites? Go Astros. Go Astros.
You like the Astros?
Yes.
Okay. Over the Yankees. Who did the Yankees or the Astros win last night?
The Astros won in a walk-off home run.
Did they?
Yes.
So it's one game apiece?
No, it's 1-0, isn't it?
No, the Yankees won the first one.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, that was game 2.
That's
one game
apiece.
What about the other one between the Washington Nationals and the St. Louis Cardinals?
I don't know. I dropped off after the race.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. It is time for our top 10. We have a very good one. Ed's going over to the drums. These are the top 10 highest ranking universities. Now, there's so many ways to rank universities, but the Wall Street Journal does this on a regular basis. And they combine with the Times Higher Education ranking company to come out with the top 10. These schools achieve the highest overall score in the ranking based on 15 factors across four main categories. 40% of each school's overall score comes from student outcomes, including measures of graduate salaries and debt burdens. 30% from the school's academic resources, 20% from how well it engages its students, and 10% from its diversity. Okay, here we go. Without further ado, number 10, Duke University. Not only a good basketball school, a very good school when it comes to higher learning. Number 9, Cornell University. I think that's in New York. Mm. Cornell, all right, and it's an Ivy Leaguer. Number 8, Stanford University, Palo Alto, California. Always on a list of good schools. Number seven is Brown University, another Ivy Leaguer. Number 6, Princeton.
Another Ivy League.
Yeah, we got a lot of Ivy League schools here, Ed. By the way, Ed, I'm going to ask you what's number 1, so you better be making a note of the ones that aren't number 1 yet. Okay. Number 5, the California Institute of Technology. That's where Ed went. He didn't go to school there, but he went over there one time. California Institute of Technology. All right. Number 4, University of Pennsylvania. I'm not even sure where that's located, other than in the state, but I mean, I don't know what city it's in. Number 3, another Ivy Leaguer at Yale University. That's in Connecticut, that I know. Number 2, a lot of Northeast schools.
Yeah.
MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And that, again, is another one that's always here. Okay, Ed, we're now at number 1. What do you think is the number 1 highest ranking university?
I'm going to say, because a lot of smart people have come out of there, and every time they're always in the news for creating something. I'm going to say Stanford out in California.
Ed, you weren't listening. See, now Ed was playing the drums, yeah. Folks, so you can't blame him. I don't blame you at all. That was number 8. You want to try
anybody?
That's all right. I know it's hard to remember all of them.
Hmm.
But Stanford would have been a hell of a good guess. Yeah. I'll give you a big hint. It's an Ivy League school.
I would have said Yale, but Yale's already been taken.
I'll give you another big hint. It's an Ivy League school.
Princeton, Yale. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know.
What do you think, Ed? Come on.
I don't know.
Okay. Here we go. The number 1 school is Harvard.
Harvard.
Ed.
Harvard.
Harvard, park your car in the Harvard yard. My goodness, Ed.
Harvard.
All right, we had a wonderful show. Thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back on Wednesday, folks. And remember this, freedom works.
Come on.
Come on, let me show you where it's at.
Come on.
Come on, let me show you where it's at.
Come on.
Come on, let me show you where it's at.
The name of the place is...
I like it like that.